This is the BBC World Service. We continue now with Peter Jones as he presents part six of the history of radio comedy and this important opening announcement.
This is the BBC Home Service.
Did you hear that? The BBC Home Service!
Oh, well, we present the happy-go-lucky, crazy, zany, wacky Goon Show!
And it's all happening in the crazy, zany, wacky world of the 1950s, in a Britain which is threadbare from war and post-war sacrifice, a land of drab austerity. Fortunately, among the tens of thousands of recently demobilized war veterans, there is a wealth of latent young talent who want to try their luck in show business. The BBC, the biggest employer of talent in Britain, happily helps them. Like, for example, a young hopeful from an RAF gang show, Tony Hancock. He's on the air and up in the air with Kenneth Williams in Hancock's Half Hour.
I'm sorry to bother you all, but does anyone know how to drive a plane?
You don't know?
No.
Well, how did you get it up here?
Well, I've been thinking about that ever since we took off. I wish I knew, because it'd give me an inkling how to get it down.
Oh, come on now. You must have some idea how you moved it. Surely. Yes. Planes just don't take off by themselves.
No, honest, no. I don't know. I was just sitting in the cabin idly doing me knitting. I sort of pulled a few levers, and all of a sudden, whoosh! He was up here.
I know. I was still on the ladder getting in.
Tony Hancock, who, for 10 short years, is to become one of Britain's greatest ever comedians. The BBC has had a major wartime series in the General Overseas Service called Variety Bandbox. In it now, they try out all the returning ex-service talent. From the Army, Frankie Howard.
Good
evening, everybody. Now, don't mess about now.
Please.
Tonight's topic is how to speak English. And I shall be assisted, with the accent on the ass, by Mr. William Turnant, a bachelor of, bachelor. And, when Mr. Turnant heard that the subject was, he immediately left his college.
Thank you, Mr.
Wait a minute, let me finish. He immediately left his college pudding to come here and assist me in how to speak English. Now, Mr. Turnant, tell me, how do you speak English?
I talk.
Give him the money, Barney. Oh, I mean, is your English good or bad?
I can safely say I stand out.
You stand out all right. Now, very well, Mr. Clarence, since English is your strong point, you ask the question.
Right. First of all, vowels. A, E, R, O, O.
Is half the last act gone now? I think perhaps I'll ask the question from now on.
All right, then see if you can catch me napping.
Well, if I do, you won't wake up again. Now, let's turn to grammar. Example one. I were glad to come in here tonight. That's wrong, isn't it? I were glad to come in here tonight.
Of course it is. It should be, I were glad to come in here this evening.
Look, I were glad. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, thrice, think.
Well, you was glad, wasn't you?
Oh, Shakespeare, turn away. Now, listen, sag body. I was glad to come in here tonight. He was glad to come in here tonight. You were glad to come in here tonight. They were glad to come in here tonight. Now do you understand?
Yes. Baby, it's cold outside.
Oh, sleep, collect me.
Well, I bet you can't conjugate.
Well, at my very peril, I will take the matter further. What is conjugate?
The next stop to Notting Hill Gate. Give me a word and I'll twist it for you.
If you give me a neck, I'll do the same.
All right, well, don't start a long rigmarole. And
what?
A rigmarole.
Rigmarole?
Yes.
Rigmarole.
I shouldn't really laugh. The Prime Minister has just warned us that if the war in Korea escalates, there could be another world war. Oh, well. A crazy world deserves crazy comedy.
Time out now for lunacy. I noticed a considerable uproar among last week's Bandbox audience, which, upon inquiry, I found was caused by a number of professional broadcasting goons who were taking a sort of busman's holiday and attending the program.
Did you hear that? They're already talking about the goons. And the Goon Show isn't going to happen for another year yet. Sorry to interrupt. It's a new version of Red Riding Hood, according to the manic ex-army clown and original goon, Harry Secombe.
So, pausing only to wipe some jelly deal off her chin and practically slipping a bottle of gin into the basket, little Red Riding Hood said, her shortest pass is through the woods, but she's heard there's a wolf in the woods. So being no fool, she takes the path through the woods. Sure enough, hardly has she started on her expectant way when out springs the wolf. Red covers her face and screams, "Aah!" Then she uncovers her face and the wolf screams, "Aah!" Hearing the screams, a nearby woodcutter rushes to the spot and after a short, sharp struggle, rescues the wolf. The wolf runs off, leaving Red to say sweetly to the woodcutter, "Who asked you to interfere, big head?" but the woodcutter's a simple man and asks,
"Where are you going, Red?"
And she says, "I'm not going, Red, anywhere, stupid. I'm on my way to visit my granny in her woodland cottage. Have you seen anything of her lately?" And he says,
No, she keeps her key in the keyhole."
Harry played a character there that sounded very much like Eccles in the Goon Show to be next year. And Eccles will eventually be played by Harry's old army mate, Spike Milligan. But you can already sense the style. Let's nip forward in time and eavesdrop on one of the later Goon Shows, still in the 1950s, and actually meet Eccles and his friend Bluebottle. Stand by for the illogical logic of the show, which is to transform British comedy thinking for the rest of the century.
What time is it, Echo?
Just a minute. I got it written down here on a piece of paper. A nice man wrote the time down for me this morning.
Oh. Then why do you carry it around with you, Echo?
Well, anybody asks me the time, I can show it to them.
Wait a minute, Eccles, my good man.
What is it, fellow?
It's written on this bit of paper. What is 8 o'clock, is written.
I know that, my good fellow. That's right. When I asked a fellow to write it down, it was 8 o'clock.
Well, then, supposing when somebody asks you the time, it isn't 8 o'clock.
Well, then I don't show it to them.
Back in 1950, we already have a ready-made goon show of our own. It's called the General Election. It's the democratic system in which every citizen can vote for whoever he or she likes. But it's a great price to pay for freedom. In fact, a long way back in our history, a chap called Guy Fawkes was so fed up he tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament. Poor chap, he failed. But we still celebrate the occasion every year on November the 5th. And we have another new comedy series with a ventriloquist, his dummy, and the dummy's tutor. Here is Peter Brough and dummy Archie Andrews with newly demobilized tutor Robert Morton, educating Archie.
Hello, Andrews.
Good morning, sir. I'm looking forward to November the 5th, aren't you?
Oh, rather. If there's one thing I like to see, it's the boys enjoying themselves.
Oh, good.
I want you to have fun, Andrew.
Yes, but now...
And I'm personally going to see that you have a rip-snorting time. No, it's a wonderful thing.
Good. Well, can you spare a copper for the guy?
No. Now, for the first... we'll take the first lesson.
Oh, now, come on, sir. You must be able to spare a copper.
Now, look, Andrews, I'm not made of money. I mean, since I received my salary, I've had to take Agatha out 5 times. Well, that's a shilling gone.
Isn't it a good, warm, comfortable feeling to be able to laugh? In 1951, the government decides to try to lift up our spirits and mount a festival of Britain. It's going to cost a fortune, but they feel philosophically that it'll be money well spent. So, ever obliging, the BBC stage a festival of variety for them on the radio. And in the all-star cast, who better than the two tireless wartime workers, Gert and Daisy?
We're going to sing you a festival song, a festival song. We mustn't be long, for the bells are all ringing a merry ding-dong over old London town. London bells ring merrily, merrily, saying, stranger, come and see all the sights, the dome of discovery. Come on, come over and have a good time. That's what they say. Come out and play as they chime in rhyme, bells of old London town. Now don't be lemon, say the bells of St. Clement. Please bring all your farthings. You'll need them all. Say the bells of Southwark London Wall. We hope you are rich. Say the bells of Shoreditch. See all you can. Say the bells of St. Andrew by the Wardrobe with St. Anne. But in your fun and games, say the bells of St. James. Do mind what you're about. Say the bells of St. Botolph without. Please avoid the brewery. Say the bells of St. Lawrence Jury. Don't finish on the tiles. Say the bells of St. Giles. We have visitors daily. Say the bells of Old Bailey. That would be a bad show. Say the great bell of the... Try and split even. Say the bells of St. Stephen. And God bless you all.
Not everybody is as committed to the festival as the girls. Many thought it was a mere idealistic waste of public money. Master satirist, skeptic and songwriter Noel Coward agreed with them.
Blow your trumpets, roll your drums, cross your fingers, hold your thumbs. Even if nobody comes, don't be conscience-smitten. If no overseas trade appears, we'll have to work for 1,000 years to pay for the festival of prayer.
And talking or singing about blowing trumpets, there is, if I may put it discreetly, a rather avant-garde, years ahead of its time, new comedy series in all directions. New in that it not only dispenses with that annoying studio audience, but also in that it's loosely improvised. It stars a young genius, Peter Ustinov, and I'm pleased to say, me.
Good evening. When Peter Jones and I were driving around London searching for Copthorne Avenue, we began to realize that being lost can be rewarding. Unfamiliar surroundings provoke all sorts of odd speculations, which we were both in the mood to indulge. Beside that, I'm not one of those drivers who make it a point of pride never to ask his way. So we had a chance to find out how helpful pedestrians can be to a lost motorist.
I don't think this is the right road at all. Better pull up by the bus stop and ask.
Well, do you think this big chap with a shopping basket full of bottled beer... excuse me, sir. Can you put me right for Copthorne Avenue?
Talking to me?
Yes, Copthorne Avenue.
Well, I heard you the first time. Which way did you come?
Well, I don't know. You see, I don't know the district.
You don't, eh? Well, perhaps you passed it.
Well, I might have done, yes, but I don't know.
You want to keep your eyes peeled. If you'd have done that, you might have seen it as you went past. Then all you'd have to do is go back. Simple. Well, what are you going to do? I haven't got all day, you know.
Oh, well, never mind. We'll ask someone else.
Why?
Because we want to know the way. You see, we haven't been here before.
If you take that sound of voice with me, you won't be coming here again either.
Really?
What was that?
I said really.
I didn't like the way you said that.
I'm sorry.
I didn't like the way you looked when you said it. I didn't like the way your friend looked when you said it. Who do you think you are, anyway?
I'm a taxpayer like
you. Hello. You better get out of that car. Put your hands up. I don't like sarcasm, you know.
Look, I sure.
I had to drop too much, have you? Never mind. I'll take you both on. I'll tell you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Soon fill you in. You and your mate coming into a peaceful neighborhood where people are minding their own tax-free businesses looking for trouble.
Wind up your window, Peter. I'm going to get going.
All right. I've got your number. Ruddy, spit. I'll have you. I'll be after you.
It appears the natives are hostile.
And I'm only 30. But there is another genius in BBC radio comedy. Demobilized from the RAF, naturally the BBC put him into yet another variety bandbox. The near incredible range of characters, all played by goon-to-be Peter Sellers.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Peter Sellers taking you over to Theatreland to hear some excerpts from the new pantomime, Sellerinda, with an all-star radio cast.
Crystal Jolly Bottom Cinderella, and so far. Blimey, this kitchen's as draughty as an oak barn. Here comes Buttons. He should be full of fun.
Hello, Cinderella. I'm happy laughing Buttons. Full of quips and funny gags. What's put me off is your ugly sisters. Here they are, the two old baggages.
Here we are, Cinders. You've got to help us dress. We've got an invitation from we all never get.
I'll tell her, Lottie. Oh, go on, Lottie. Let me tell her all. Cinders, we're both going to the Prince's Ball. But you can't come, but we're going, aren't we, Lottie? I'll let me go to the Prince's Ball.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Sarkwood. And as usual, my seat is in the circle. But there's a little boy sitting next to me who keeps shouting. I say, Sonny, would you mind being quiet, please?
You're talking, you are.
I beg your pardon. I'm Southwood, not Sloppy.
You may be Southwood, but you're still Sloppy. Here, can you play knock knock?
Yes, I can.
All right, knock knock.
Who's there?
Cohen.
Cohen? Cohen who?
Cohen, shut your big gob.
And, of course, there's Peter Sellers' most memorable character creation, Blue Bottle. He's still fascinated by Eccles' piece of paper that tells the time.
Oh, I wish I could afford a piece of paper with a time written on.
Oh.
Here, Eccles.
Yeah?
Let me hold that piece of paper to my ear, would you? There. This piece of paper ain't going.
What? I've been told a forgery.
No wonder it stopped at 8 o'clock.
What is interesting about those goon shows is that the performers enjoy the fun as much as the audience. Lesser performers would never have got away with it, but by George, they did. And after his appearance on Variety Bandbox, young Tony Hancock gets his first major radio series as yet another tutor to the ventriloquist's dummy, Archie Andrews. Archie is having a bad dream.
I wish I could see into the future. Into the future, 100 years from now.
Welcome, Archie Andrews.
Yes, it is a funny name, isn't it? By the way, it's very hot, isn't it?
What do you expect? Down here.
Down here? Oh, no, no. All I wanted was to see 100 years ahead, that's all.
Oh, you have. It is the year 2051. You have been with us 30 years.
Then this must be...
But don't say it. It's not allowed.
Oh? Why can't I say it?
We have the BBC down here.
Well, then, you must be...
My card. You can just read the name where it isn't singed.
All parties catered for, no waiting, proprietor.
No, I want to go back. Oh, I'd give anything just to see dear old Dr. Hancock again.
He's over there.
Oh, Dr. Hancock, I'm glad to see you.
Just hang on a minute, Andrews. My fire's going out.
But tell me, Dr. Hancock, tell me, why are you here? What did you do wrong?
There's my list. When I was your tutor, I did all those wicked things, and you got the blame.
What, all these?
Yes.
Oh, well, what am I doing here, then? Perhaps you're right.
Stand aside a minute, Andrews. The flame's wilting. Where's my shovel? Where's my shovel? You can't move these days for politicians.
It's so hot.
Yes, I know it is, yes. If you're stopping, take your horns off.
Huh? Horns? Oh, dear, I've got a pair of horns.
Well, you're lucky, Andrews. You've only got horns second class. Some of us have tails as well.
What splendid controlled performances from two old pros. There's another old professional, Jack Train, the alcoholic old Colonel Chinstrap from wartime Itmar. The goons loved him. Indeed, they'd been inspired by the radio technique of Itmar. They invited him into one of their shows. Old, experienced Jack Train does a double act with the new, young Peter Sellers.
Major Blagnar, sir. The colonel is coming. Tottenham 3, Arsenal 2, snow on high ground.
Thank you. The colonel?
All right, sir.
Oh, chain the brandy to the wall. I know his sort.
A glass of port. I don't mind if I do.
By the great leather putties of Jemadar Goldstein. Colonel Chinstrap, it's you, sir.
Yes, sir. Colonel Chinstrap is always me.
What a fortunate coincidence for you both.
Well, if you insist, Dennis, just a chill to
pay. Yes. Enough?
Just a spot ball.
Yes. Yes.
Have another?
Just a small one, please. Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers. This bagel.
Spot more?
Oh, no. I think it's about time you had one.
You can sense pure radio comedy coming into its own. No bellowing stand-up comics, but intelligent, well-scripted use of sound as a medium in its own right. The sound effects in Itmar were purely decorative and perfunctory. In the new post-war shows, they are the comedy. Sorry, I've talked so much about the comedy, I've forgotten to tell you about the history. In 1952... we lost the much-loved King George VI, and now in June 1953 we have a new young second Elizabeth. We have a memorable coronation, and, you've guessed it, the entertainers on BBC Radio do it justice. Phlegmatic we may be, but there's something about all the pomp, pageantry and circumstance of tradition. The Weston brothers on Henry Hall's coronation guest night.
And now we've written another song about the coronation. It's very important, and nobody else seems to have mentioned it. But you know, we write all these songs in ordinary lead pencil.
At the coronation, after all the jubilation, the captains and the kings will soon depart.
After salutations, down will come the decorations, and all the Mrs. Mumps will make a start.
What shall we do with all the banners and the flags?
There'll be such a lot left over. Orange peel, banana skins, nuts and paper bags.
There'll be such a lot left over. Down will come the stands when the drums have ceased to roll. Miles and miles of wooden planks we shan't be in a hole.
They'll always come in handy to board up Chelsea's goal.
Hosts of foreign visitors will go back home again. Americans will say goodbye to London and Big Ben.
And 50 guinea flats will all go back to £2.10.
But the big show this week is the BBC's Coronation Gala Show, where all the stars are invited and the BBC bureaucrats and their good lady wives sit in the audience. They're nice people, but it's difficult to make them laugh. Even worse, it's a royal occasion. So they booked Jimmy Edwards and the cast of Take It From Here.
Jimmy, where are you? Quick, you're on.
All right. I'm here. Don't panic.
Yeah, but where have you been?
Stuffing wadding under the shoulders of my jacket.
Stuffing wadding? What for?
I got the tip from Sir Laurence Olivier, you know. Well, you never know your luck, do you? They say that sword can come down with an awful wallop, you know.
Script by Frank Muir and Dennis Norton. Again, two ex-servicemen who, had there not been a war, might never have found their true vocations. Sorry, back to the show. And Muir and Norton are taking the mickey out of the BBC.
We've got to do a party piece. This is a very special occasion.
I should say it must be. Look at the audience, eh? 300 BBC officials all wearing their best suits on a Friday.
And with a deft twist of the verbal wrist, they have a go at Australia's Dick Bentley and acknowledge our new young queen at the same time.
You know what's going on, don't you, Jimmy?
Jimmy never knows what's going on. He's always thinking about horses. Whereas I'm always thinking about...
Yes, Bentley, we know what you're always thinking about. And I know why you're here, too, Ben. I know why they chose you. It's because you're the only actor on the BBC who's been an Elizabethan both times.
So that's it for the early 1950s. The Third World War has not broken out. And we're beginning to pull ourselves out of the post-war gloom. But Peter Sellers' Blue Bottle is still going on at Eccles about the time.
You should get one of them things my granddad's got.
Oh?
His firm gave it to him when he retired.
Oh.
It's one of them things, what it is, that wakes you up at 8 o'clock, boils the kettle, and pours a cup of tea.
Oh, yeah. What's it called,
My grandma.
Oh. I'll wait a minute. How does she know when it's 8 o'clock?
She got it written down on a piece of paper.
To be continued next week.
Continues the history of radio comedy at 3:30 Greenwich Mean Time next Sunday. This program was written down on a piece of paper and researched by Dennis Main Wilson. Additional research was by Penny Gore, and it was produced by Andy Aliff.